Good to be with you this morning. Good to be with God's people here at Calvary. As a pastor, there's a lot of times when I would like to visit other churches just to see how things are done and fellowship, but you don't get that opportunity all that many times. So I appreciate being with you this morning. I want to start by reading two little stories that have to do with faith. First one is that in 1958, America's first commercial jet air service began with the flight of a Boeing 707. A month after that first flight, a traveler on a piston-engine, propel-driven DC-6 airliner struck up a conversation with a fellow passenger. The traveler asked the engineer about the new jet aircraft, whereupon the engineer began to speak at length about the extensive testing Boeing had done on the jet engine before bringing it into commercial service. He recounted Boeing's experience with engines from the B-17 to the B-52. And when his traveling companion asked him if he himself had yet flown on the new 707 jet airliner, the engineer replied, "I think I'll wait until it's been in service a while." That man had a lot of understanding, a lot of knowledge regarding that aircraft, but not a lot of faith. Here's another story. During the terrible days of the Blitz during World War II, a father holding his small son by the hand ran from a building that had been struck by a bomb. In the front yard was a shell hole. Seeking shelter as soon as possible, the father jumped into the hole, held up his arms for his son to follow. Terrified, yet hearing his father's voice telling him to jump, the boy replied, "I can't see you." Father, looking up against the sky, tinted red by the burning buildings, called to the silhouette of his son, "But I can see you. Jump." And the boy jumped because he trusted his father. Now, in that situation, that boy did not have very much knowledge, especially of what was in that hole, other than the one that he trusted, which was his father. And so without a lot of knowledge, he demonstrated faith. I'd like you to turn with me to John chapter 4. And I'll be reading verses 43 through the end of the chapter. And this passage comes right after the story of Jesus traveling through Samaria, coming to the town of Sychar. And you remember how he talked with a Samaritan woman there at the well. And as a result of that conversation, him and his disciples ended up staying there in the town of Sychar for 2 days. And many people from that town believed in Jesus. They said to the woman that Jesus had first talked to in verse 32, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." The word faith is not used in the passage that I'm going to read, but this really is a story that has a lot to do with faith. And it shows us three different facets or three different aspects of faith. So listen as I read, starting in verse 43 of John chapter 4. After the 2 days, so that's the 2 days that he had been there in Sychar, after the 2 days he left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they also had been there. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. "Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders," Jesus told him, "you will never believe." The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus replied, "You may go. Your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "The fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour." Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus said to him, "Your son will live." So he and all his household believed. This was the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed, having come from Judea to Galilee. So the first facet of faith that I want us to notice in this passage is what I'm calling expectant faith. Expectant faith. Jesus is in Cana of Galilee, and there's a man from Capernaum, or at least his son was in Capernaum, which is about 20 miles away from Cana. And this man hears that Jesus is there. This man is called a royal official. We don't know exactly what his role was, or what kind of authority, what kind of influence or power he had. But he seems to have been a man of some importance, and he was probably in the service of King Herod Antipas. And now this man's son was sick, and more than just sick, he was really sick. He was brushing shoulders with death. So this royal official takes off for Cana. He doesn't send a servant, he doesn't text, he doesn't call. He goes himself. And he must have cared. As I read this story and I think about this father, he must have cared very deeply for his son. And I imagine that he covered those miles to Cana very as quickly as he could. And when he got there, he finds Jesus and he begs Jesus, he pleads with Jesus to come back with him and heal his boy. And then Jesus makes this interesting comment, or this statement. He says, unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you will never believe. But the thing that stands out to me about that is that this man does not follow up on that. He doesn't agree with Jesus. He doesn't argue with Jesus. He doesn't ask Jesus what he meant. His focus isn't on, hey, miraculous signs or whatever. His focus was on his son. And his focus was on the one hope he had for his son. And that hope was Jesus. And so he says, sir. Now remember, this wasn't a royal official. And yet in his earnestness and in his humility, he calls Jesus, sir. He says, sir, come down before my child dies. And what we see so clearly there is what we can call expectant faith. So far, nothing new had happened as far as his son. His son was still just kind of swinging there by a thread. But this man, this father comes to Jesus and says, come and heal my boy. That is expectant faith. And has expectant faith been a part of our experience? Has it been a part of your experience? When we see a need or when we have a need, do we go to God with that need? And when we go to him, do we expect him to do something, to act? Do we expect an answer? And one way that we can test that is to pay attention to your response when God actually does clearly answer your prayer. When God definitely answers a prayer, are we shocked? Are we just surprised? I think if we're surprised, that indicates that we really weren't expecting much of an answer. We weren't expecting God to act. Now, on the one side, rejoicing is one thing. Yes, we rejoice when God answers. We might be in awe when God answers, but to be shocked when God answers is another thing. And when I read this and I see this man, I'm challenged by him. I'm chastised by him, by this expectant faith that he had. And how do we cultivate that kind of expectation? And it'd be interesting if we could just take time to talk about that. How do we do that? One thing that I've thought about is the importance of reminding each other of how God has answered prayer in the past. When we remind each other, we recount what God has done in the past, I think that can help us to grow an expectant faith within us. Now, the second facet of faith that we see in the story is obedient faith. Look at verse 50. So Jesus says to the man, "You may go, your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. I find that amazing. I mean, we don't read that this man said, "No, no, Jesus, you didn't. No, you need to come with me." We don't read that he asked Jesus for some kind of a sign, some kind of a confirmation. We don't read that he was just disappointed with Jesus and with Jesus' response. We only read that the man took Jesus at his word and departed. That's obedient faith. Taking Jesus at his word and then doing what he says to do. You know, the fact that this man heard what Jesus said, turned around, and headed back is a profound demonstration of faith. Where did he get that faith? You know, I think in some ways that was a faith born out of desperation. He needed help and he needed it now. But I'm also reminded of what is said in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, where it says that faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So this royal official heard that Jesus was back in Galilee. He probably had heard about the miracle that Jesus did when he turned the water into wine at Cana before. He had probably heard about Jesus' miracles in Judea. And I think all of those things that he had heard bolstered and strengthened and fed his faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, we read that now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And that is illustrated in this man. He was certain of what he hoped for. He was sure of what he hoped for. He was certain of what he had not seen. And so when Jesus said to him, "You may go, your son will live," that's all he needed to hear. And he went. So I wonder this morning, is the faith that we profess, is our faith an obedient faith? You know, in Matthew chapter 6, we read about worry. We read things like this: "I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear." We read about how God takes care of the birds and he knows the birds and that we're not to worry. And it goes on, it says, "Don't worry about what you will eat or drink or what you'll wear, for the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So how does obedient faith respond to that? It says, okay, I'm going to lay down my worries. I'm going to lay down these things that are burdening me. And I'm going to concentrate on what God is doing. And I'm going to concentrate on how I can align my life with his. I'm going to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And yet so often we worry, don't we? We worry. But worry and faith, like water and oil, don't mix. They don't mix. Earlier in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, "Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." And yet, so often we can be overly concerned about our bank accounts, our retirement plans, our vehicles, our houses, all of our other stuff. And when that's the case, are we evidencing obedient faith? Obedient faith to what Jesus has said? Hardly. We're not. So having an obedient faith means listening to Jesus and then doing what he says. And you know, a person can have an expectant faith without having an obedient faith. Think about this. Think about this father here. He could have come to Jesus with an expectant faith, said, you know, Jesus, my son is just almost dying. And then Jesus could have said to him, hey, okay, fine, you may go. He's going to be okay. And this man could have said, no, I'm not going to go. You've got to come with me. I'm not going to go. You've got to come with me. You've got to come. You've got to kneel at his bedside. You've got to put your hands on him. You've got to heal him that way. He would have had an expectant faith, expecting Jesus to do something, but he would not have had an obedient faith because he was the one trying to dictate how things were to be. And we can do the same thing when we come expectantly to our Heavenly Father in Jesus' name, but then we try to dictate, we try to spell out how God should do things. So we have expectant faith, we have obedient faith. And then a third facet of faith that I see in this passage is what we could call enlarged faith. Look again at verses 51 through 54. This man he's hoofing it home. He's heading for home, and then he sees his servants coming towards him. And I have an active imagination, so I imagine him thinking to himself, oh no. Here come, you know, he sees the servants, and did it run through his mind? Uh-oh, something bad happened. But as soon as he saw his servants and got to see them, I imagine they had smiles on their faces. And he probably realized, no, the news that they're bringing is good news. It's not bad news. So he asked them what happened. They said, hey, your son is okay. He's going to be okay. He's fine. Jesus said, the man said, when did this happen? And they said, yesterday at 1 o'clock or yesterday at the seventh hour. And the man realized that that was the exact time that Jesus said, your son will live. Just put yourself there for a minute. Put yourself in that situation. What would come through you? What would be running through your mind? What would you be feeling? What would you be thinking? You know, to me, it almost gives me chills to think about what that must have been like. This man and his servants were firsthand witnesses to the authority and the power of Jesus Christ. With a word, with just his word, Jesus healed a boy that was 20 miles away. And can you imagine the awe? Can you imagine the joy that that man and his servants must have experienced as they talked together and as they just went, headed for home as quickly as they could go? And the fact that Jesus healed that boy, and the fact that he did it at a precise moment, and the fact that that boy was 20 miles away when it happened, all had a profound impact on that family. It says in verse 53 that as a result of all of this, the man and his household believed. Now we could ask, we could say, hey, you know, didn't this man already believe? I mean, the fact that he went to Jesus with expectation, the fact that he did what Jesus told him to do, doesn't that mean he already believed? And I think we would have to say, yes, he did believe. But now his faith is enlarged. It's bigger. It's confirmed. It was validated. And now the belief that we read about in verse 53, I think is more than just thinking that Jesus can do something. It's more than just doing what Jesus asks them to do. It goes deeper than that. I think now their faith has been enlarged to include belief that Jesus is who he says he is, that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Savior. You know, faith grows, faith is enlarged as we see God at work and as we recognize his authority and his power. And my desire for us is that God would enlarge our faith, that he would confirm it, that he would increase it. When I think about the story, I realize that it's been repeated over and over and over again throughout history. Not these exact details, but this story. In fact, among us this morning, this story has been repeated. Many of you have come to Jesus with expectant faith. You've had needs that have weighed you down. You've had concerns that have kept you up at night. You've had problems that were overwhelming, like this man's concern about his son who was, you know, just on the brink of death. And with those needs, you have come to Jesus. You've come with expectant faith. And then you've also heard from Jesus. Maybe through the scriptures, maybe through something a brother or sister has said, maybe through a song, maybe through the still small voice of the Spirit. But you've heard from Jesus. You've heard words of comfort. You've heard words of encouragement. You've also heard words of instruction, where you heard clearly, this is what Jesus is asking, telling me, us, to do. And we don't always respond as quickly to Jesus' words of instruction as this man in this story did. But I don't doubt that it is the desire of most of us, if not all of us here this morning, to live in that kind of expectant and that kind of obedient faith. And many of you have obeyed. You've made difficult choices. You have done difficult things out of obedience to Jesus. You've rectified wrongs. You've admitted mistakes. You've asked for forgiveness. You've also extended forgiveness. And you have seen God's hand at work. If we could take the time right now and talk about it, you all have seen the hand of God at work in the past, more recently, in different ways. And your faith, as a result of that, has been enlarged. It has grown. It has increased. And I suspect that this morning, we're at different places in regards, in relation to these facets of faith. Some of us here this morning are likely at the point when we need to have an expectant faith. We have concerns, we have needs, we have burdens, and where we are right now, we need to go to God through Jesus with expectant faith and ask Him to do something about whatever it is we're facing. We need expectant faith. Some of us likely this morning need to exercise obedient faith. You already know what you're being called to do. But for some reason, it's coming hard. Maybe you didn't expect that kind of instruction. Maybe it's just inconvenient. Maybe it's just something you downright don't want to do. But you're at the point now where you need to exercise obedient faith. And I encourage you to do that. To step out and do what Jesus has told you to do. Trust Him. Do what He says. Exercise obedient faith. And then some of us this morning may be at the point where we have just seen, or we are in the midst right now of seeing, answered prayer. God's power is on display. His authority is evident. His compassion, His mercy is obvious. Is in the spotlight. Let this be a time when your faith is enlarged and grows. And I'd encourage you, if that's the case, to write down how God has and is acting and working and answering prayer. And so that later you can look back and you can remember His mighty work. And also tell others so that their faith can also be enlarged and grow. So we have expectant faith, we have obedient faith, We have enlarged faith, and may we all regularly experience each one of those facets or aspects of faith. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this group of your people gathered here this morning at this place. And Father, I'm very aware that whereas I do not know what is going on in the hearts and the minds and the lives of each person that's here, I do not know the needs. I do not know the burdens. Very aware that you do. And I want to just thank you this morning for that. I thank you, Father, for the intimate knowledge you have of each one of us. And Father, I pray this morning that you would grow our faith, that you would increase our faith, that we would have an expectant faith, an obedient faith, and that you would enlarge our faith. Pray, Father, for your blessing on this congregation, on this body. Pour out your blessings, Father, in ways that we can't even imagine. Father, I pray this in Jesus' name.